I am shocked. Shocked. Well, not that shocked.
Welcome back. We are back with another edition of the Fantasy 40 podcast. There's a lot going on in the NFL right now. So this is, as Walk just called it before we started recording, the shit show catch-all primer. Basically going to review some of the trades over the last week. I know previously we discussed some of the moves in the NFL that were pending, but now things are official. Trades are flying. Things are happening. Pieces are moving. So we're going to talk about as many of them as we can and their impact on fantasy. Walk, how are you? And I guess we're going to go through this alphabetical order. So wherever you want to start, let's go.
I mean, the beauty of this is I think we did this last year and we alphabetized differently. It appears as we both prepared a year ago for the show and I went by, what did you call it? Mascot name, team name, and you went by city that they were at. So we were totally backwards. And before recording today's show, I said, okay, we're going to go alphabetically by team name. And then you jumped to my side of it with what the team is called. And I was like, no, geography, because that is your strong suit. I came to find out on that show last year. So how could I begrudge, something that you find so near and dear to your heart as U.S. geography. So we'll see where you're going to start from the top, but there's a lot going on. Sorry about that. Quick little cough. There's a lot going on right now. So do we kind of touch on the news of the day that kind of has to do? Yeah, I mean, we'd be remiss if we didn't tackle that.
Tyreek Hill story time. So in case you're unaware, which I'm sure you will be when you hear this, the Chiefs are reportedly shopping Tyreek Hill. And I put out a tweet this morning. I think that Kansas City offense runs through Hill. If Hill goes somewhere else, I think that's bad for Mahomes. I don't think it's good for Kelsey. I don't see who's going to step up and fill Hill's role. He's a NFL unicorn. And wherever he goes, it's going to ding his value because he's not going to play with as good a quarterback anywhere. I think the only spot he could go that gives him any kind of equal or possibly higher upside is Green Bay with absolutely nobody to catch the ball. Anywhere else, he is a losing value dynasty asset, and he ain't going to Green Bay because they have no money.
Yeah, they already said, Davante Adams, kick rocks. You can go get overpaid in Las Vegas, which, sorry, Davante Adams was overpaid with that contract. He's about to be a 30-year-old wide receiver. Sorry. Like, it's become an NFL funny money now, but, I'm all for team go get yours, but, I just don't believe that any wide receiver is worth that money to be totally candid. I mean, the quarterback contracts are getting to a preposterous point as well, which is going to make team building almost impossible when these quarterbacks are making $50, $60 million a year. I mean, the cap would need to double for that to be.
I'm going to cut you off. I did not know he had signed his new deal. I thought that was still being worked on. I just had Googled it while you were talking. And if you rewind this, you can hear the moment it came up on my screen because I went.
I heard something. Wasn't aware what that was, but
holy
yes.
Shit!
You want to sit, yell for the people in the back?
Yeah, 5-year, $140 million.
Yeah, dude, how much guaranteed on there? Do you have that, Bernie?
Signing bonus is $20,000, $65,670,000 guaranteed, annual salary of $28 million. And they have after 3 years, which he's probably going to say
65 mil. Yeah, exactly. Oof. I mean, 65 million guaranteed over 3 years. So we're talking, for the math challenge, roughly 22 mil per year. Guaranteed. I'm now they're going to kick some of that. That's probably why the deal was, what'd you say, a 5-year deal?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, so those last 2 years were meant to just spread money. I don't think they intend to be paying 33-year-old Davante Adams $30 million a year, but far be it from me to tell the Las Vegas Raiders what to do. But, he was already disgruntled with Green Bay. You know, they were trying to get another tag out of him, you know, kicking the can and hoping to stay in that championship window. They certainly were not paying him even $65 million guaranteed over the next 3 years. So there's zero chance they're going to bring Tyreek Hill in and give him a comparable contract, which is clearly what Tyreek Hill is angling for now, as he saw not only the Christian Kirk funny money that we'll talk about when we get to the Jays, as you know, as far as this episode is concerned, but then once he saw Davante Adams, he probably considered himself in that upper echelon as well of wide receivers, and this is his time to get paid. So he is doing what he can as a player, and you know, telling the team he's not going to report and then he wants to get traded. You know, and the Chiefs probably honored it with some high ask because he is still under contract with the Chiefs. And he'll probably come to find out that no one is willing to meet that ask for him. And I ultimately think he'll be back in Kansas City when it's all said and done. I don't think this is a bridges burned situation, but
no.
I have been very wrong before on some of these. I just think it's a little late in the game to go chasing that money, unless it's like some way that he structures something a la Deshaun Watson, where it doesn't really impact the team this year and kind of kicks in subsequent years against the cap. But again, I just don't see Tyreek Hill moving when it's all said and done. The Chiefs are doing what they can do, right? And saying, okay, good, go out and look for a trade. If you're unhappy with the offers we've been making, they've been negotiating, it seemed like, for the last few months now. And I can assume that the Tyreek Hill camp might have been dragging their feet with some of these pending contracts and probably wanted NFL free agency to happen, to be honest with you, so you could see what some of these lower tier wide receivers were getting paid. And all that did was probably raise the ask or substantiate what Hill was already asking for from the Chiefs in his next deal, which is certainly north of 20 mil per with a big guarantee.
Yeah. I mean, for me, the takeaway is no matter where he goes, if he goes somewhere, it's bad for fantasy, downgrade. for everyone involved.
I agree with you. He became a high target guy last year in that Chiefs offense when they started playing that cover two shell that literally every podcast explains how they minimize the Chiefs. And he became that underneath kind of yak threat and saw his target count just skyrocket because he was just, you know, just get the ball in his hands and he makes magic. I mean, that's what Tyreek Hill does. I mean, yeah, sure, he can run past just about every player in the league. But if you get him in the open field, he can also make people look foolish. So there's a ton of value in Hill to the Chiefs and would be for any other team. But to your point, there is nowhere he would go where his value would even stay the same. Anywhere outside of Kansas City, his value goes down because he just either the quarterback isn't of the echelon of Patrick Mahomes, or I just don't know that they would structure things as well as Reed does to maximize player talent. And I know Kelsey is there in Kansas City, so I'm not saying the target competition would change, but after Kelsey, there's literally no one else. It's Kelsey and Hill. You know, and then it's a couple tier breaks than everyone else in Kansas City. So if he went to Buffalo, because and we could say Josh Allen might not be a downgrade, he'd have to share with Stephon Diggs. If he went down to Tampa to win a Super Bowl with Tom Brady, he'd have to contend with Mike Evans and eventually Chris Godwin. There's just not a scenario where I would even expect him to get the volume of targets or the caliber of targets that he gets in Kansas City. So for everyone's sake, we hope that he stays in Kansas City.
All right. So,
But before we pivot, I did. Tom Bellazzaro had put a tweet out this morning saying 8 players with a combined 33 Pro Bowl selections have been traded in perhaps the wildest month in NFL offseason history. Russell Wilson, Carson Wentz, Khalil Mack, Amari Cooper, Yannick Ngakoue, Davante Adams, Deshaun Watson, Matt Ryan. Tyreek Hill will make it 9-39. This is the craziest offseason since I've really followed football by far, and I love it.
Oh, it's
amazing.
Great for
what a time to be alive.
Yes, yeah. But enough time on the what ifs. Let's talk about the what is. So I'm going to start right at the top. A Arizona Cardinals. So no big moves yet. They re-signed James Conner, re-signed Zach Ertz, two older vets that had a decent role with this team with Chase Edmonds moving on, which we'll get to later. Connor may have an increased role, but I suspect they're either going to bring in one of these other guys that's still floating out there or address it in the draft, or we could see Eno Benjamin's emergence. As far as fantasy is concerned, you know, for you and I in this podcast, Connor doesn't move the needle much, although he does have obviously some value. We saw him get in the end zone a bunch last year. And Ertz, I think, is still a fantasy viable tight end. He seemed to click with Murray, and I see that continuing going forward. So it doesn't move the needle for fantasy, although they're both relevant.
Yeah, very well said. James Conner got 3-21 to return, and Zach Ertz got 3-31, 6-5. There's no way they traded for Ertz midseason not to re-sign him, so I never envisioned him going elsewhere. Cliff Kingsbury came out and said that, you know, they would love to re-sign both Bax and Conner and Chase Edmonds, but that wasn't really feasible. So they clearly picked James Conner, who, when Chase Edmonds was out, he looked good. I mean, it's hard to say on this podcast, but you know, he held up to the workload. He looked good catching the ball, which I wasn't always certain was an option for Mr. Conner, but there's just the inevitable, you know, likelihood of injury with him. I mean, that last season worked out perfectly for him in a prove it year, right? That he stayed reasonably healthy and was able to land this multi-year deal with the Cardinals. I wouldn't anticipate that persisting. You know, 26-year-old back, history of injuries, you know, cancer had to ravage his body significantly, you know, so smaller injuries are probably more significant to him. Hopefully, you know, Benjamin gets a better shot, but to your point, with this class having a lot of day three guys that I think you and I both like, I would not be surprised one bit if Arizona dips into the running back pool in the NFL draft. On the Ertz side, he's probably their number two pass catcher now with Christian Kirk leaving town behind, hopefully, a healthier DeAndre Hopkins. He's going to be in the top 5 to 6 tight end conversation because he just continues to get volume, and volume is king at the tight end position.
Yeah, well said. Anything else to add here? Are we going down the list to the Atlanta Falcons who made some?
Nah, we can move on. I think, you know, I expressed pessimism with the Arizona Cardinals last year when they came out of the gate hot, and it continues this year. They have fallen far behind the competition in their division, and I think they're going to struggle to make the playoffs this year, personally.
And luckily, Seattle's doing everything they can to give them two easy wins. But
Trying to help them. You're absolutely right. But, you know, the Rams and the 49ers certainly aren't.
Yeah.
I think they're a distant third in their division.
Yeah. The Falcons, obviously, the big move was trading away Matt Ryan, but then they did sign Marcus Mariota, who's familiar with the system. Coach's name totally skipping me now, but
Arthur Brown.
But the thing is, when Brown was calling plays with Mariota in Tennessee, that was the year that Mariota ended up getting benched. So what grasp of the system does he have where he ended up losing his job under it? They re-signed Cordarrelle Patterson, and they brought in, to me, one of the more underrated ones here is Damian Williams. Obviously, Williams' role was big in Kansas City, and that Reed system is beneficial to running backs. Goes to the Bears, who sucked. I'd be sad out a year when they could opt out for COVID. Didn't do much last year. He was hurt and had some other things going on, if I recall correctly. If they don't do anything else at running back, Damian Williams could be I will be grabbing him in the super duper late rounds of redraft and throwing out some offers for a late fifth in dynasty. I could see him having the season Cordarrelle Patterson had last year.
Well, hopefully Cordarrelle Patterson has a season that Cordarrelle Patterson had last year, because we signed here 2 years, $10.5 million. He outwardly said that he wants to retire with the Falcons, which I really don't understand. I mean, yeah, they finally gave him a shot to be something, but this team is fighting to be the worst team in the entire NFL this year. Yeah. I think they're outwardly trying to be, personally, to secure that 101 next year and draft the heir apparent to Matt Ryan in Atlanta. And I'm sorry, I said Arthur Brown. It's Arthur Smith. That didn't sound right coming out of my mouth. It's Arthur Smith. But that's irrelevant. Mike Davis, he's listed on the depth chart.
Still,
okay. Yeah. He's before Damian Williams on the depth chart. They're both listed behind Cordarrelle Patterson on our lad's unofficial depth chart, which you love to see. But, Damian Williams has been shit in 2 years. Yeah. He did opt out for COVID 2 years ago, and you know, he lost the opportunity to Khalil Herbert in Chicago last year. decent depth, but he's an older player himself. That running back room is just old, and the team's going to suck. So, do you want any running back? I mean, at least Cordarrelle Patterson is going to catch passes and run some wide receiver routes. I get the late dart throw, but I don't want to go anywhere near any of this backfield. This team is going to be trash. And to your point with Marcus Mariota, yeah, he has a history with Arthur Smith. He got a glorified one-year backup deal, pretty much. I mean, the second year is a team option. So they don't have long-term designs with Mariota. They just had to put a starting quarterback under center for the season. And that's what Marcus Mariota is going to be, a one-season starter in Atlanta until they either sign a free agent quarterback upgrade next year or hit the draft with a top pick. So if you held on to Marcus Mariota in Dynasty, sell him right now. Just trade him now. This immediate moment, if anyone's willing to give you anything of significance in a super flex league, take it. You could probably get second round picks out of people. And you can probably get upgrades in other positions for players. If he is not going to start for you with any significance, move off of him, because the Falcons are still bereft of weapons as well. They have Kyle Pitts and nothing else in the wide receiver room now. They might end up drafting someone, but is a rookie wide receiver going to come in and let Marcus Mariota explode, with Pitts? Probably not. This is a sell high opportunity for Marcus Mariota. I'd probably sell Cordarrelle Patterson as well if there's any market for him. And I'm going to check to see if I have Damian Williams anywhere, and I'm going to trade him to you.
I mean, I'd throw the, like I said, I mean, I'm not putting any real capital in towards the guy in Dynasty startup.
You want him, I'm going to take
round 23. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, there's worse things. I mean, there's Mike Davis, there's wouldn't be impossible to usurp him. They did sign Damian Williams, so there's some desire in whatever capacity it is to have him on this team. So yeah, I guess you could do worse, but let's move to the next team, because I would much rather have the running back that the Buffalo Bills recently signed than Damian Williams.
Yeah, so Buffalo, and now I lost it on my screen here. Buffalo did a few things that are interesting. I don't know where they're going to lead for fantasy, but I wish O.J. Howard had a better landing spot, but they brought in O.J. Howard. He's going to compete with Dawson Knox, who I think is one of the better fantasy tight ends in football now, especially on this offense. Case Keenum's a very capable backup. I kind of like him. I don't, the way Allen plays, he could miss some time at some point in his career. So getting the quarterback in this offense would be good. Duke Johnson, older guy, shows flashes here and there, but what they have on the roster, and I know Singletary had a little emergence last year. Zach Moss has his fans, but Duke Johnson, I kind of like in best ball. I don't know when you're going to trust him week in and week out. But Crowder's the big signing here. They're not re-signing Beasley. They already said that. Crowder's as good or better than Beasley, and he's sneaky, a lot younger than you think he is. Feels like Crowder's been in the league for 20 years, but I believe he's only like 27, 28 maybe. So Crowder's somebody who's definitely on my radar. I think that's a great signing, and he fills a role in this offense that has been fantasy viable, especially in PPR leagues.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. I mean, O.J. Howard's a one-year deal. He's like a reclamation project for them. It was, I think, they gave him $9 million, if memory serves me correct. So, what did I say? $3.5 million? I don't know who. I was thinking of Evan Engram. So, O.J. Howard got nothing. He got $3.5 million. He's Dawson Knox insurance, and maybe they run a little bit more 12 personnel. Get that run game going. You said they lost Beasley. They did bring in Jameson Crowder, who I agree with you, has some sneaky upside, as there's a void in the slot for Buffalo right now. Speaking of Keenum, yeah, you could do worse with Josh Allen. He puts himself in harm's way pretty often, but that still didn't see any Mitchell Trubisky opportunity last year. I just think it's a capable backup that they were able to get pretty cheap in a trade. Pretty sure they traded for him from Cleveland. And then Duke Johnson, Devin Singletary looked good last year, but it kind of took everyone else falling on their face for them to give Devin Singletary the real opportunity. There were some Matt Breida blips. There was the Zach Moss game, and then it was finally Devin Singletary full bell cow down the stretch. His body's just not really built for that. Duke Johnson looked good in his short stint with the Dolphins. The Bills in division, probably witnessed some things firsthand. And I think it was a solid signing for them, honestly, because he's a good running back and he's a plus pass catcher. So solid signing for the Bills, who clearly are going all in, because, you know, we're talking fantasy football here, but, you know, they went and threw the Brinks truck at Von Miller with a hypothetical 6-year, $120 million deal, which is really, I think, like a 3-year, 50-some million dollar deal in reality. But they're doing what everyone else is doing, right? You know, you're in your window. Yeah, you go all in. And that's clearly where the Buffalo Bills are. And they made some key acquisitions on offense.
Weird. Right around the same time, they're building a new stadium, just like L.A. Not that anything's fixed, but weird coincidence, ain't it?
Yeah. It's funny how those things happen.
So, moving on, next team, Baltimore Ravens have done nothing for fantasy purposes, so we're going to skip right over them. Moving down to the Carolina Panthers, brought in Deonta Foreman and Rashad Higgins. Chuba Hubbard has been a bit of a disappointment as the backup to McCaffrey. We've seen McCaffrey miss time. Mike Davis had a nice little fantasy version there, got a contract from Atlanta out of it. Foreman, you know, several years removed from that Achilles injury, looked pretty decent in spurts last year with Tennessee. So he's a lot more interesting than I would have thought years ago. And then Higgins, they gave DJ Moore a contract extension, gave him big money. Obviously, Terrace Marshall fell flat on his fucking face. They still have Robbie Anderson there, but he's been rumored in trade talks for a while. So Higgins is wide receiver 3 on a team that sucks, which was kind of the situation he was dealing with in Cleveland, except he doesn't have the chemistry with whatever shit quarterback Carolina has that he had with Baker Mayfield. So I think it's a big downgrade for him, which kind of stinks because Higgins is a guy I've always kind of liked and wished better things for.
He kind of started the Colorado State train, right?
Yes, correct.
Secretly behind him, we're a little more noteworthy. Dante Foreman, I think, immediately jumps Chuba Hubbard as the CMC handcuff. He looked really good to me during his time as the starter for the Titans last year. To your point with Higgins, I mean, I guess he's in front of Terrace Marshall right now, but that's pretty much just a given with anyone in Carolina because they just didn't even want him on the field at points last year. The sad reality is, right now, our lads has Cam Newton listed as a starter in Carolina. And, you know, Sam Darnold is a backup making like $19 million this year. It's just disgusting for the Carolina Panthers. They did make some offensive line upgrades, getting Austin Corbett and Bradley Bozeman as well. So they're trying to fix their line, which could help their run game. But their defense is solid. If they had a quarterback, it would be, you know, they would be a threat in the AFC South, but unfortunately they do not.
Did you see the headline today about them and Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, they both said they were not
mutual
in
disinterest.
Yeah. I love that Baker thinks he could call a shot at this point. He's obviously trying to wiggle his way to Seattle now. I mean, he wanted Indy went and traded for Matt Ryan.
I think he wants to get cut and make $18 million, and I think he wants to then sign another contract and double dip. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, if it works out that way for Baker, good for him. I don't. Well, he's clearly taking Carolina off the list of teams that would offer him after he gets released. I mean, just someone needs to take away his cell phone. I mean, that's pretty much what Baker needs, to go on vacation, like just to an island without cell service for like a couple of weeks, and just let his agent deal with this shit, because he's not helping his cause at all. I mean, he's like a high school girl that just got broke up with before the prom, and he's lashing out, and it's not in his best interest. So we'll see how that saga ends, and we'll be talking about it very shortly and probably for far too long. But before we do, we'll just move on to those Cincinnati Bengals, you know, the Super Bowl losing but surprising participant, Cincinnati Bengals. The only significant addition they made was Hayden Hurst, losing CJ Uzomah, adding Hayden Hurst on a one-year deal. I think Hayden Hurst possesses more upside than CJ Uzomah did, personally. But he's still a distant fourth, probably fifth in the pecking order, if you include, you know, Mixon or the running back position as a whole. He's behind all three of those wide receivers. So he's going to be boom or bust most weeks. But I like the addition that they made of him, because Hayden Hurst hasn't lived up to his first round value, but he hasn't been really a bust either.
Yeah, and he was, you know, that same draft when he was taken in the first round, the Baltimore also took Mark Andrews, and we've talked about it before here, but Hurst is a better real life tight end than he is a fantasy asset. He's not a bust as a first round guy because he does all the shit you expect a tight end to do. He's a good blocker. He can be in line. He's just not giving you that fantasy production or even NFL production that people want. But you mentioned it. He's low on the pecking order there, and we've seen Uzama blow up when there's good matchups. So Hurst is I think he's a great best ball tight end, and I think he's still fantasy viable playing matchups and shit like that. But he's not a, you know, he's not even a top week in, week out, top 18 tight end, even on this Bengals offense.
No, agreed. Not much to see here. The Bengals, they've made some upgrades to their offensive line, which was long overdue. If anyone watched the playoffs last year, which is only going to benefit the existing offensive options in Cincinnati.
Yeah, he's a good blocker. They upgraded the line, and they brought in a better blocking tight end than they had. So it's good for everybody else, ain't good for him.
they're putting some emphasis on protecting Joe Burrow, their franchise quarterback. Moving past them to the
bell of the ball.
Yeah, the Cleveland Browns. Deshaun Watson happened after we recorded last week, correct? Yep. So we've been in DMs about Deshaun Watson, but we haven't discussed Deshaun Watson. But just running down the Browns real quick, Deshaun Watson, they also brought in Jacoby Brissett, which makes sense, is kind of a guy that can keep the train moving if when Deshaun Watson finally gets suspended by the NFL. We discussed them trading Case Keenum, you know, earlier, so they had a void. They will inevitably part ways with Baker Mayfield. And under that, the Amari Cooper trade from the Dallas Cowboys, franchise tagging David Njoku, then subsequently releasing Austin Hooper and bringing in Jakeem Grant. Where do you want to start here?
I mean, quarterback's the way to go. Watson's, you know, for fantasy, a big upgrade.
John, I got to stop you. This was the bell of the ball. Tyreek Hill's been traded.
Get the fuck out of here. Live right now? At this moment?
To the Miami Dolphins.
No way.
Yes. The Kansas City Chiefs are sending Tyreek Hill to the Miami Dolphins.
What?
Just came across the phone. I doubt we'll have any details.
When we get to Miami, we'll because we already started with Hill. So let's get
that's a little, all right. Let's back on track. Let's hurry up and get to Miami now.
craziness. Again, huge downgrade, but we'll get to it. The thing that's interesting to me here is the Brissett signing. I don't think Watson misses a ton of time, but it wouldn't shock me if the NFL goes, enjoy sitting for 12 weeks or 8 weeks or something crazy just to make everybody happy. Brissett's going to be the quarterback for at least the first quarter of the season, right? So he's probably on most waiver, even in super deep leagues. And if you've got, like, you know, Garoppolo, who might be a slow start to the season, or one of these other guys that's going to a new team and going to have to learn a new system and all the hiccups and trouble and shit that comes along with that, having Brissett as your guy just to get you to the quarter mark is not the worst thing in the world. And who knows? We've seen Watson hasn't played in 2 years. Who knows what kind of rust he has on him? He might come out there, be rusty, get hurt. We've seen crazier things happen, and Brissett could be the quarterback for a lot more games and a lot more action than we think. So I like Brissett as kind of the sneaky one. Cooper, never been a fan of, wasn't happy when he came here with Mayfield. Don't love it with Watson. I get the upside. I've seen it, but I've also seen the downside. He's just too boom or bust for me. We both love Njoku. Off the top of my head, I don't remember Watson having ton of success going to his tight ends. But
he's also never had a tight end.
Correct. So. And nobody like Njoku, who's, you know, another guy. I keep saying this unintentionally, not my theme planning on going into here, but Grant does have boom or bust, especially if you get a league where there's return yardage. I do like him as a sneaky kind of stash, but again, you're never happily plugging him into your starting lineup, but he's just got to keep on your radar.
Yeah, Grant is a special teams guy, wide receiver 4/5. All he is going to be. I mean, you said more than enough on the Watson and Brissett thing. I agree. I think Brissett, you know, to my point, I think he's just the bridge back to Watson, you know, kind of keep train moving, try and keep him around 500. If, you know, he gets a hit, you know, an 8-game suspension, if he gets a 10-game suspension, whatever it may be, go to 4-4 or 5-5. And then Watson hopefully can come in and back him into the playoffs. And then, you know, the suspension's behind them and moving forward with Watson, and it's $230 million guaranteed. So it's a good insurance policy for the Browns. I would suggest anyone that has Deshaun Watson, if you already don't have Jacoby Brissett, which I ironically enough do have on a few rosters that have Deshaun Watson, not because of this trade. I had him before. It's just in the Superflex League, you just hoard quarterbacks. Jacoby Brissett was cheap for the last few years, so they have a fair amount of Brissett. Amari Cooper, the value goes up, obviously, with Deshaun Watson over Baker Mayfield. No. David Njoku, yes, the most interesting piece of all this, because we've reiterated this. Deshaun Watson has never had a viable tight end, and he's certainly not had one as athletic as David Njoku. So going to be paying particular attention to that going forward, as we've both been high on Njoku. They did tag him before this trade even went through, so they couldn't have envisioned that they were going to land at Deshaun Watson. They just wanted to retain Njoku over Hooper when it was all said and done, even though they went ahead and overpaid Hooper in free agency 2 years ago. So interesting turn of events in Cleveland.
Moving. They've done nothing.
To start that again, you just froze for a second there. Moving. Just do it again.
Moving down to the Chicago Bears. Surprisingly, did nothing. They arguably got worse. They traded away Khalil Mack. Offensively, they did nothing. They have Justin Fields, who I'm still not sold on. And you see what some of the other teams do, trying to surround these young guys with talent to dry. So even though I'm not a fan, I don't want to see them. I don't want his career to suck because the team is sabotaging him, and that's what they're doing. I mean, he's going into year two as of right now with Darnell Mooney and Byron Pringle as his top targets. Like, what are you giving him to succeed? So they brought in Equanimeous St. Brown as well. None of that moves the needle. These are not great signings. I've been a Pringle fan for years, but if he wasn't going to break out with Patrick Mahomes, he sure the fuck ain't breaking out with Justin Fields. I'm almost speechless. The Bears are failing miserably unless something really changes on draft day, or there's, you know, one of these June 1st guys that gets cut and the Bears bring in. But they're not doing anything to put their team or their young quarterback in a position to succeed.
No, you hit the nail on the head. But I mean, the new head coach, you know, they're rebuilding. Part of the reason sending Khalil Mack out of town, they know they're not competing this year. Hopefully they commit some resources in the draft. They do not have a first-round pick because they traded it last year to get Justin Fields. So they're not going to get one of these upper echelon guys. But there'll be guys in round two, even in round three, that they can get to help out. And hopefully they're going to commit a little bit to that. Because Pringle and St. Brown don't get the job done, right? Pringle's a good wide receiver 3/4 for a team. I mean, he popped in spurts with the Chiefs, but was never consistent, and he should not be a starting wide receiver on an NFL franchise. I love Darnell Mooney, and this could nothing but roses for Mr. Mooney and Cole Kmet at the end of the day. But yeah, they need to do something, but it's clear they're breaking it down to build it back up. So they're not going to throw big money at what are you going to overpay Christian Kirk like the Jaguars did, you know, who aren't in win now mode either. That would have been foolhardy in my opinion. So I get the approach of the organization. Finally, I think they've made short-sighted moves for years. So maybe they have a better vision going forward, and it's not to try and rush through this, but certainly you want to give Justin Fields NFL caliber pass catchers in the interim so he can continue to develop. So more to come on the Bears, but moving from the Bears to the Cowboys, this will be a 3-hour episode if we keep this pace up. They have signed James Washington. They have re-signed Michael Gallup. They have tagged Dalton Schultz, and they've re-signed Noah Brown. So short of losing Amari Cooper. You assume they exchanged Amari Cooper out for James Washington, and Blake Jarwin was released ultimately as well. So their starting lineup won't look a world different by midseason than Amari Cooper as far as the pass catchers are concerned. So not tremendous moves, but I did like the James Washington signing. Don't know it'll ever be anything, but I believe he's a Texas kid. He went to Oklahoma State. He's popped in brief spurts with the Pittsburgh Steelers, but he could never become a consistent threat. I throw some cheap offers out at him because he's at least going to be in two wide receiver sets until Michael Gallup gets back on the field, which Gallup was hurt a little later in the season. I would expect him to get put on the PUP, even though people are recovering more, quicker. But the first half of the season is going to be an opportunity for James Washington.
Well, and Dallas has, at least in recent history, has been a team where these further down the depth chart wide receivers at least get a chance and have some decent games. They re-signed Noah Brown, who'd been there for a while, and you know his name because he's had good games. Cedric Wilson had a few good games to close the year, turned that into a nice contract with Miami. Everyone's been just crossing their fingers waiting for Michael Gallup to finally get his chance, which is here. So I agree completely. Washington, even aside from the Gallup thing, if there's one spot where we've seen these wide receiver and five guys have a week just because of game plan or because of injuries, this is the spot to be at. So yeah, keep an eye on him. He could have, his breakout year, which doesn't take much to have your best year when you've sucked for quite a few. But yeah, I like that signing, and I like the signing of Noah Brown. Losing Cedric Wilson kind of puts Brown in that Cedric Wilson spot that's now vacated. And Brown's looked okay when given a chance. So I like all of these moves. I love Schultz coming back. Schultz has got great chemistry with Dak Prescott, and I think he's one of the top fantasy tight ends.
Yeah, I mean, it's impossible to argue with Dalton Schultz. We've seen the production already, and now you're removing Amari Cooper from the equation. I mean, Dalton Schultz could conceivably put up. I mean, it's hard given the upper echelon, of Kelsey, Andrews, and even Kittle to a bit. I mean, I don't think Pitts is there yet, and I think Waller's taking a ding, but Schultz can easily be a top three tight end.
Yeah, he's the 1B. He's probably out of that top three, but he's right there in that next group. He's not Kelsey. He's not Andrews, but he's right behind them.
Yeah, and he will benefit from the Gallup ACL injury as well, of just a trusted target for Dak Prescott. It's going to be CeeDee Lamb and Dalton Schultz out of the gate catching, upwards of 60% of the passes from Dak Prescott for the first half of the season. So huge, huge win for Schultz. Probably hope to extend him to defuse that cap a little bit. I would expect to see an extension, especially after they released Blake Jarwin, who has some significant serious, I think, back injury, which is why they ultimately released him. Moving from the Dallas Cowboys to the single note Denver Broncos, Russell Wilson. I mean, that's all they needed to do, right?
May have heard of that deal.
Everyone knew they were the quarterback away team. There was reports about Rodgers, but ultimately it was Wilson who ended up with the Broncos, who I think is a great add for the pass catchers that they have at present. I mean, Sutton gives you kind of DK Metcalf vibes. I think Judy can be the Tyler Lockett safety blanket for him. I don't think the Tim Patrick and KJ Hamlers of the world will get the volume that I think people would like, at least on the Tim Patrick side. They got rid of Noah Fant in that trade as well. So Albert Okwuegbunam gets a massive dynasty boost. And at present, Melvin Gordon hasn't re-signed, so Javonte Williams is looking like a league winner. But I don't know that there's a lot to say, Wilson. It was necessary. Wilson's already a top 10 dynasty quarterback for most people. And I think he's probably fell into a better position. I mean, Seattle's going in the wrong direction. They have plus pass-catching talent, but our offensive line's terrible. The Broncos represent an upgrade for Russell Wilson on an offensive line. They have a better defense. That's kind of where Wilson thrived during the the Legion of Boom days with the Seahawks, but they're still in the AFC West, which is going to equal shootouts. I don't care how good the Denver Broncos defense is. They got to go against the Chiefs. They got to go against the Chargers and to a degree, the Raiders who are stockpiling as well. So Russell Wilson is going to have to win games this year for the Denver Broncos. He's not just going to be able to rely on that defense. So a huge win for Russell Wilson owners in Dynasty. Cause I mean, he could have been with the Giants, you know, I mean, that could have happened. And if he did, then stop down for him. You know, I mean, sure, it would elevate some of those pass catchers, but he landed in the perfect spot if he was going to be leaving Seattle with the Denver Broncos. I don't know. There's a lot more to say there.
No, and you know, DK Metcalf and Lockett get all the attention in Seattle, and rightfully so. They have the cupboard has been bare behind them for years. Denver's got a very good receiving core down to, you know, number fives. Bringing in the tight end, I think Wilson has way more weapons. And if, you know, Denver brought him in to use him, the old let Russ cook nonsense, he could have his best year passing because I think he's got his best receiving group top to bottom, even though it's not as top heavy. Moving on to the Detroit Lions with a whimper. Another team you mentioned earlier, I think they're kind of sucking for 2023 also to address this quarterback group. A year from now, brought in DJ Chark, who I like, don't like the landing spot, re-signed Josh Reynolds, re-signed Caleb Raymond, who both had decent years with Goff on a shitty team, when a team with no receivers. They both were – I had them both in several leagues and played them down the stretch, and I never was like – getting burned. I mean, your expectations are low with them and they meet your low expectations, but they didn't suck. They weren't horrible guys, but it's Detroit. I don't know if there's not a lot of to get excited
about. Yeah, I can't say a team needed to address the wide receiver position more than the Detroit Lions this offseason, and they did very little. They re-signed two guys and they had a DJ Chark on a one-year prove it deal. These are best ball only guys. I know that's cliche, but that's it. I mean, to your point, in a pinch, if you have to start one of these guys, so be it. But I'm not going to trust Jared Goff to hold up any of these receivers on top of Hockenson and DeAndre Swift and everyone's love child, Amon-Ra St. Brown, at present. So in a perfect world, these guys are sitting on your bench all season long. The Detroit Lions, to your point, are looking forward to 2023. This one more year of Goff with significant money, and then they're going to move on. I happen to believe that given the Goff trade, they got the 32nd pick from the Rams, and they also have an early second for being the Lions. So I would be surprised if they don't use one of those two picks, even on a quarterback, if someone falls like the ilk of like a Sam Howell or a Desmond Ridder, that they bring someone in cheap, whether they want to get that fifth year option with the pick 32 or with their early second, just to see if they can develop someone cheap behind Goff, because Goff isn't the answer. Neither are the other guys on the roster or quarterback, or they just totally punt for 2023 in a pretty ballyhooed quarterback class. So, unfortunately, these guys went to a spot where it's no bueno for them.
I can see Ritter landing here and them ruining him. But
yeah, totally. Totally.
Speaking of things that are ruined, let's talk about the Green Bay Packers. Re-signed Tanyan. Obviously, there's all the Aaron Rodgers nonsense throughout the offseason. I think we already talked about it. They lose Devontae Adams. They're in salary cap hell. They're going to have to draft wide receivers because they don't have the money to spend on the remaining guys in free agency. Not much here. I think this whole team takes a step back in fantasy value, except for our guy, Aaron Jones, who probably takes a move up as of this point with no other viable pass catchers here. Green Bay's trending down. There's not.
Yeah, I mean, Aaron Jones is their most proven pass catcher on their team at present. I mean, you're going to be trotting out Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb and Amari Rodgers. I mean, Aaron Rodgers trust. He likes Alan Lazard and he sure trusts Randall Cobb, but not in a fantasy world. These guys are their best wide receiver threes on your fantasy team. Tanyan came back cheap after he tore his ACL, so it makes sense to bring him back. But the only point of discussion with Green Bay Packers is what they lost in Devontae Adams, and he was the engine that moved that entire offense. It's going to be It's going to be interesting watching Aaron Rodgers trying to keep this team competitive this year. The division isn't insurmountable. I mean, we already mentioned the Bears and the Lions punting for 2023, but I like what the Minnesota Vikings are doing. I personally, if I had to put money down right now, would say that they should be the odds-on favorite to win the NFC North this year over the Packers. I would not be one bit surprised if the Packers didn't make the playoffs this year.
Yeah, I agree.
From the Packers, down to the Houston Texans. Two running backs, because they like old running backs. So they signed Dario Ogunbowale and they re-signed Royce Freeman. They also, I believe, re-signed or extended Rex Burkhead. So
yes, that's true.
That's what they're doing. Yeah, that's what they're doing down in Houston. they trade away Deshaun Watson, and they tell the Browns they wanted no players back. They didn't want any of it. And it's likely because they're really looking to the future. They're stockpiling draft picks. They don't need any contracts on their books with guys that would be coming up for extensions in a few years. You know, they know they had to hit the full reset button. So why bring on a quality guy that in 2 years is going to want $20 million a year? Like, no, let's just give me that first round draft pick that's contained, it costs contained for 4 or 5 years, and let's move forward. So Houston Texans did little to nothing. Brandon Cooks is still there. Davis Mills is still there. Brandon Cooks from last year just hit reset. He's the only player in this entire offense that you can trust with any regularity. Did like a little bit of what I seen from Brevin Jordan last year, but this is a free agency episode, so they are a complete pass as far as any impact signings.
I would have been excited about Freeman, except they basically never used him once last year, so I garbage.
Yeah, exactly. It's not even new news. We already saw it. They traded for him. He should have been getting opportunity, and he couldn't get past 30-year-old Rex Burkhead or David Johnson last year. You know, so nothing to say here.
Moving within division to the Indianapolis Colts. Only thing they did besides the big Matt Ryan trade was re-sign Mo Alie-Cox, which we both like that. But they bring in Ryan. I don't like the weapons at receiver that Indianapolis has. So as much as I like Matt Ryan, and we've seen him make other shitty guys fantasy viable, he should be able to do that in Indianapolis, but they got to get him some help in the receiving room. And they have the cap space, you know, congrats on being the back-to-back cap space champions, but that doesn't mean shit for fantasy or for real football. But Ryan coming in there, you know, he's a 2-3 year rental probably before he calls it a career. Until there's pass catchers there that I'm excited about, and Pittman is just okay to me, he'd be a much better number two. Doesn't do much for the team. I mean, teams have to respect him, so I think it opens it up for Jonathan Taylor a little more, which is nuts that he has possibly more upside, but not the best thing for fantasy overall for the rest of the team or for Matt Ryan.
No, but I think they're going to address the wide receiver position, whether it's with any of the remaining free agents or in the draft. So they just can't roll out. They lost Zach Pascal as well, which is low impact, but he was a starter for them last year. Maybe Paris Campbell can put together a healthy season and help out. You mentioned re-signing Mo Alie-Cox. Matt Ryan loves the tight end position. He has for years, and now he's had some of the best. He had Tony Gonzalez for a large stretch of time, and then he just got blessed with rookie season Kyle Pitts on his way out the door from Atlanta. But Mo Alie-Cox re-signing there is good for Cox. Staying put is always good for free agents. It does ding Kyler Granson potentially a little bit, but I've always liked Mo Alie-Cox. So I have him a ton of places, and this is going to be good for his dynasty value. Ryan, I don't think, is cooked personally. I think he's got a few good years left in him. He's going to keep Michael Pittman extremely fantasy relevant. He'll keep Jonathan Taylor train moving. Hopefully they address, you know, the wide receiver two position with some significant upgrade. I'm not going to say go sign Julio because I think Julio's done personally, but it makes sense with Matt Ryan. Will Fuller still lingering out there, would be a nice speed element on the other side, you know, indoors again with Lucas Oil Stadium. Sorry, not Lucas Oil Stadium. That's Houston, where it used to be. Farm Bureau Stadium or something silly like that. You know, he could be there.
Everyone's saying fucking names are the worst.
He's gonna end up with the Browns, but who knows? I mean, you know, Indianapolis is an appealing landing spot as well if he's willing to accept another prove it deal. So I don't think they're done in free agency. I think they're waiting for some people's prices to come down. Now we don't even have to wait to Miami. The Kansas City Chiefs are next on the agenda, and the only addition was Juju Smith-Schuster, who is now the wide receiver one in Kansas City. at present, because Tyreek Hill has officially been traded to the Miami Dolphins, and Tyreek Hill was awarded a 4-year, $120 million contract from the Dolphins.
They already signed him?
On being traded. Yeah, oh, yeah. This has supposedly been in the works for a while now behind the scenes. And there's also another tweet here that a week ago, Tyreek Hill tweeted, "We came a long way. Thank you, Chiefs Kingdom. I'm forever indebted." Was sent 11 days ago. So he was kind of letting everyone know he was out the door. I guess they broke off trade talks a few weeks back.
Kind of extension.
You know, probably talked, you know, they knew who was interested, and they probably allowed him to discuss a new contract with the team so long as they met the conditions of the trade. And the trade itself was for 5 draft picks. They are not good draft picks. You guess you got to take what you can get. Only certain teams were probably willing to offer what Tyreek Hill wanted. I guess he didn't have a no trade clause. That never came about, but he got paid. He now has the largest deal, making him the highest paid wideout in the NFL. He exceeded Davante Adams 5-140, 4-120 on an AAV basis. But pick number 29. Pick number 50 in a fourth round pick this year, and then 4th and 6th in the 23 draft. So, yeah, I mean, I got to think that the Chiefs are going to invest in a wide receiver position in this draft. It's too late first. I mean, there's in the 29th, but there will be players there. There's not going to be a Tyreek Hill there. So it's going to be real interesting to see what this offense looks like, because Kelce and Juju live in the middle of the field. So you still need that outside threat, you know, to kind of keep this train moving. So who's the speed element? is it Mecole Hardman finally?
Is he the speed
element that I've been waiting for my entire life, it seems like, even though he's been in the NFL for 3 years? But huge get for Juju. He's on a 1-year deal. He was supposed to be there last year, but he went back to Pittsburgh to try to rehab his value and get a longer term deal. Didn't happen. Circle back, end up with the Chiefs after all. Great for Juju.
Without him, What a boon for him.
Yeah, especially without Tyreek Hill. We're going to be interested to see the moves that the Chiefs make. Do they package their picks and try and trade up and get, you know, a Jameson Williams? I mean, do they have to trade up to get Jameson Williams? Is his stock falling because of the ACL? I mean, that Jameson Williams seems like a, I don't want to say a Tyreek Hill clone, because there is no Tyreek Hill clone in the world. That dude is a unicorn, but a speed
the
demon.
The funny thing is, you know who the clone may have been? Fucking Jalen Waddle, who he's now playing alongside.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just look at that. I mean, just wait till we get down to Miami now. I mean, the conversation has changed, but unfortunately, the Chiefs haven't done a lot. So for the purpose of this conversation, it's a loss right now. They are in a bad place, but great news for Juju Smith-Schuster owners out there.
Real quick, before we get to the next teams, do you want to stop and cut this and make it 2 episodes since we're halfway at the hour mark?
Probably not a bad idea. We just got to 16. Okay. We tapped, you know, I'll release this one first.
Not actually 16, because it's out of order. The Chargers are 16. Chargers are
Whatever. I mean, we're at an hour, we'll just start with
the Chargers. Okay, right, so I'll do a quick outro, then I'll stop it, and I'll send another invitation in a second.
Let's just I can cut it. So yeah, just do the outro, and then we'll just
Keep it on this one recording. Then, you can just cut it off. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I can make it a little bit harder to download, but won't have to download too. So
okay.
Yeah. So do the, you know, this is the first half.
Okay. All right. Ready? All right, so wrapping it up with the Chiefs, we're running a little long here, so what we're going to do is cut this into a 2-parter. So be sure to come back to hear all of our joyous takes on Miami and the Chargers. Too much action going on this year. So for myself, John DeBarry, my co-host, Mr. Matt Walker, be sure to check out our friends over at Expand the Box Score. Use the promo code 40, get 4 days of free advanced stats. We are the Fantasy 40, and we are out of here. Oh, no, ow.